17. Karen's shivers went away as soon as the man fired up the sander and pressed it against her body. Clumps of her muscle and tissue went flying as she screamed. He ran the sander up and down her back and along her buttocks. Gorn stood by, laughing and enjoying the show. The man ran the sander down her leg and up the other. Soon, he went up her front side. He paid special attention to her vaginal area, which sent a special jolt of fiery pain throughout her entire body. It felt as if someone had lit her body on fire from within her own head and watched it explode. Every movement made it worse. Screaming made it worse. There was no forgiveness and no reprieve. When he ran the tool over her face, her screams were temporarily silenced. By the time he finished, she had no idea how much of her was left. By the looks of the amount of bloody slurge lying on the floor around her, she guessed there wasn't much.
"Such a great show,"
Gorn said, clapping his hands as he walked into the room, looking her up and down.
"You are a tough one. I don't recall seeing a lady put up with so much. Look at you."
He gestured to the mess on the floor.
"Now you know what it is to be truly naked."
"Please," she pleaded. "I just want to see my husband. No more of this, please."
"Oh, we're just getting started, my dear. You've already shown how much you can withstand."
"How am I not dead?"
"We told you. There is no death here. I can piece you back together, just like this."
Gorn clapped his hands again, and just as quickly, her shivers were gone, and she looked down to see her naked flesh covering her body once again. "Thank you."
"You won't be thanking me in a second."
The door swung open and a group of naked men came walking in. Except, unlike her previous tormentors, these men all were burnt to a crisp. Their bodies were blackened and charred, but their penises were long, hardened knobs. They immediately surrounded her as tears ran down her face. Many of them were holding long, sharp rods. One man held a rod up to her, and it shocked her. She twitched, but was helpless to move away, as another shocked her as well. Soon, they were all shocking her. Some were just poking or stabbing her with the rods. One inserted the rod into her asshole and shocked her, sending a burning pain through her whole body. One of them put a dried, crusty hand around her breast and squeezed as it rubbed its dried-up cock along her stomach. She cringed as he leaned in and licked the side of her face. The things circled her while they each poked and prodded her, their electric rods, until another man came walking into the room. This man holding a large gun in his hand, attached to a long hose. The others all cleared away as the man squeezed the trigger and a plume of fire unleashed from the gun. The flame covered her body from head to toe. She screamed as if she felt her restraints break loose. As she fell free, she took off running, but the fire clung to her, feeding on her naked flesh. She even tried to stop, drop, and roll, but that only made it worse. The fire was spreading into her hair, onto her face, and all over her body. Her flesh sizzled and popped as she rolled around crying out for it to stop.
"Good, good. Enjoy the pain,"
Gorn called out.
"Don't fight it."
She tried to ignore him as blisters formed and popped on her flesh and her skin melted right off her bones in places. Her eyeballs popped right out of her skull as her whole body twitched and trembled. Her screams grew hoarse as her vocal cords burnt up. Gorn knelt down and waved a hand over her, putting out the flames. "Thank you," she whimpered. "Please help me."
"You keep asking me that?"
Gorn said.
"There is no help here."
The scorched men picked up her burnt body, which ached with every movement, and pulled her apart. Her limbs easily snapped off with a crispy crackle until her torso was a helpless stump, just lying there. Each man knelt her over and took turns urinating on her face. The acidic urine burned her scorched flesh as it rained down on her. She could see again, since Gorn had waved his hand. But the urine in her eyes stung. One of the men knelt down and snapped off her lower jaw. The men laughed as she screamed, trying to form words. But none would come. Her burnt and dried up tongue flopped around in the open. Another man squatted over her and defecated into her mouth. The shit was long and clumpy. She choked on the brown clumps of shit as she tried to turn to her side, but was unable to generate enough movement. She gagged and coughed until she managed to turn her head enough to throw up. A mix of vomit and shit ran down her neck and shoulder as she gagged. The smell was so acidic and raw, it made her throw up again. Karen continued to dry heave long after her stomach was empty. Melissa appeared just a few feet away and bent down onto one knee next to her. "Look at you," she said. "You're disgusting. Rolling around on the floor in your own vomit in some strange guy's shit? It's no wonder your husband loves me." She looked at Karen and ran a finger over her charred torso. "Plus, you look gross. What's he gonna do? Stick his dick in one of your burned up stumps? Maybe Gorn will heal you. Maybe he won't. Either way, you got a lot more pain to go, sweetie. I'll make you a deal. I'll send you home right now. Just say the word. You'll go home back in one piece. But you'll be alone. Or you can keep going. This is the one and only time I will offer you your freedom." Karen grunted something as Melissa laughed. "Oh, I guess I should fix your mouth." She touched Karen's face and her jaw was back. "Fuck you, cunt," Karen said. "I'm going to keep going. You're not going to win." Melissa smiled wide. "I was hoping you'd say that. It's fun watching you suffer. I can't wait to see what Gorn has planned for you next." Gorn appeared next and put his hand on Karen, healing her entire body in a matter of minutes. "Aw, you healed her all up. I figured you'd leave her a little fucked up," Melissa said.
"She'll need to be intact for what's coming next. Trust me, she's still plenty exhausted."
Exhausted was right. Her body was whole, but Karen felt like she'd been hit by a train. Every last inch of her ache, she could still feel the fire on her body and the sand of ripping her flesh away from earlier. It was like everything she felt here stuck with her long after it was over with. There was no end to the pain. "So what's next?" Karen asked.
"Next,"
Gorn said,
"is the River of Blood."
Chapter 18. The men came over and dragged Bruce into a circle as Gorn looked around at them and smiled.
"So you wanted pleasure?"
Gorn said.
"Well, here you go. More pleasure than you know what to do with for them."
Bruce counted at least a dozen men in the circle, maybe more. One of them forced him to his knees, while the other shoved his cock into Bruce's face.
"You better get started. They can be a tough crowd to please. Ha, ha, ha."
Bruce pinched his mouth shut and pulled his head away. The other man punched him in the stomach, trying to get him to take the penis into his mouth. But Bruce refused.
"Bruce,"
Gorn yelled,
"you suck his cock, or I'll remove your lower jaw and won't put it back. Then you don't want to know what they might put into your mouth. Suck it good too, making him moan."
Gorn laughed again as Bruce slowly opened his mouth and let the shaft slide in. He closed his eyes as he wrapped his lips around the erection and tried to think of Melissa or anything other than the huge cock in his mouth. He sucked it up and down as the man fucked his face. He pulled away at one point and threw up before going back to sucking.
"How many trials do I have left?"
Bruce asked.
"All of them."
Moments later, Melissa appeared behind the man whose cock he was sucking. She was standing behind the man, also naked, and rubbing his chest. "What's wrong, baby?"
You don't want to be with me?
Bruce took his mouth away to answer.
I do, but I've literally gone through hell for you. How much more do I have to go through?
Oh, honey, you've barely gotten started. But you make me so hot watching you. She stepped out from behind the man, spread her legs, and began playing with her pussy right there.
Get back to work, Bruce,
Gorn ordered. So he did. He sucked while watching Melissa. He felt himself getting slightly aroused as the sight of her massaging her own clit and moaning. That arousal was short-lived when another man came up behind him and slid his cock into Bruce's ass. Bruce grunted, wanting to stop and protest, but he knew it was useless. The other torments had all been about pain. This was about humiliation. The man behind him slammed his asshole hard. Bruce felt himself stretching and tearing as he continued working on the cock, feeling it getting harder in his mouth. The man's cock throbbed as he grabbed the back of Bruce's head, keeping him from pulling away as the man blew his load down Bruce's throat. He could hear Melissa coming too, but it did nothing for him as he finally pulled away and spit out the man's jizz before throwing up yet again while still being fucked from behind. The man behind him let out some grunts and came in Bruce's ass, knocking him over and thrusting so hard. When they were done, all the men rotated as Gorn shouted,
"Next!"
Bruce repeated the cock-sucking and ass-fucking, throwing up two more times, including when the man came in his mouth again. By the time he was on his fourth man, his whole body ached from vomiting so hard. His asshole felt like it was gaping open, as blood oozed out with each thrust of every cock. The fifth man reached around with a knife and slashed his stomach open. This time, Bruce threw up blood onto the other man's cock. They all laughed as the man pulled his intestines free and strung them around behind them. Bruce turned to watch as the man shoved Bruce's intestines up his own asshole. He shoved them in as far as he could go. Bruce can feel them clear into his abdomen. He couldn't get over the irony of feeling his guts in his guts. Finally, he collapsed as he coughed up more blood. This time, the man he'd been blowing finished by jerking off onto his face. Bruce just lay there crying, all while Melissa kept fingering herself over and over and coming repeatedly. When Bruce collapsed, Melissa bent down and pulled his intestines out of his asshole and strung them over into her pussy. "That's it, Bruce," she said. "Gut fuck me. Fuck me with your guts," she said as she thrust her hips against his severed intestine over and over. Bruce looked on with both awe and horror as she came on his greasy internal organ. One of the men pulled it out of her and wrapped it around Bruce's neck. Gorn stood there laughing as he watched the scene unfold. The man tightened it around Bruce's neck until he couldn't breathe, but kept pulling. Since he couldn't die, Bruce wondered how long he would sit like that for. After several minutes with no air, he finally passed out. When he awoke, he was in a room with Gorn and Melissa, with several others sitting around a table. There was a large, overweight woman lying on the table crying. She had been cut open and her insides spilled about. Each of them had a plate in front of them with a different organ on it. Bruce's plate had a kidney. Gorn looked at him and smiled.
"I see our guest of honor is finally awake," Gorn said. "What happened? Where are we now? Are we done?" Bruce asked.
"Not quite. I thought we'd take time out for a little feast. I also thought you'd be happy to know your wife is enjoying her own set of trials."
"What?"
"Yes, your dear Karen, the one you left behind for our precious Melissa. While you're going through hell to win Melissa, Karen is going through her own hell to find you. Isn't that fun? I wonder what happens if you both make it."
"No, Karen is innocent. Leave her out of this.
She is here of her own free will."
just like you are. We've offered her to send her home many times, but she wants you. And here you are going after someone else. Husband of the year you are.
Bruce hung his head, trying not to think of what horrors Karen was going through. Instead, he looked up at Melissa, who was smiling at him. Once again, he felt his cock tingling, which sent shivers throughout his whole body. Melissa always gave him strength. He was going to need it for whatever was next. Chapter 19. Karen looked out and saw a sea of red appear throughout the hall. Waves and ripples drifted throughout the bloody river as Gorn laughed and pushed her in. She landed with a splash and within seconds disappeared beneath as the sticky crimson liquid closed in around her. She felt it in her nose and tasted the coppery taste in her mouth. She managed to bob to the surface and take in some breaths of air before going down again. Karen tried to swim, but it was so thick, there was no way to swim the way you would in water. Her body drifted downward, and soon she felt something nipping at her feet. It wasn't just a nip, but it was a sharp pain. Seconds later, the pain was in her legs, stomach, and nipples. She surfaced long enough to get a breath and let out a short scream before going down again. This time, she went under, trying to fight off whatever the things were that were biting at her. They weren't piranhas. They were tiny fish skeletons, thousands of them. They all had huge, jagged teeth and were biting and ripping at her flesh. Karen tried to swim and kick at them, but they were too fast, and there were too many of them, ripping and tearing at her body. They began on her face as she felt her nose rip free and clumps of her hair tearing free. She felt herself sinking and sinking as the tiny creatures feasted on her flesh. Unable to breathe, she held her breath as long as she could. But soon, that was no longer possible. Against her body's control, her lungs tried to breathe in and instead took a breath of thick blood. Her body thrashed and kicked about as she drifted and floated into the never-ending bottomless river of blood. Part of her wondered if they let her quit now, but she knew there was no quitting. The other part of her wondered if they would leave her here forever. She'd spend eternity perpetually drowning at the bottom of this bloody river, being chewed on by these demon fish. Trying to do something to get air, she twitched and kicked again, but still no air. This was the worst thing Karen could imagine. Drowning without death. She thrust her body upward as hard as she could with all her strength, barely making it to the surface. But she managed to get her head above the river and swim just enough to make it to the other side of the river. Once there, she hit the bank. She crawled ashore, her body completely covered in the sticky red substance. She coughed and gagged until she threw up the blood that was in her stomach, mouth, and lungs. Taking a breath of precious air, she gasped in several long breaths, as they would be her last. She didn't bother to look at herself, to see she barely had any flesh hanging from her bones. Just several strands of muscle and tissue, a few clouds of hair stuck to her head, and her eyes protruded from their sockets.
"Glad to see you made it,"
Gorn said, standing over her.
"I forgot to mention my little friends. They can be hungry, little fellas."
"Let me see my husband. Just 5 minutes. If he wants to stay after 5 minutes, I'll get out of here for good," she said.
"Well, there's an idea, but I don't think so. I have some friends who want to meet you first."
"What?" she said, taking rapid, heavy breaths. "Who?"
"The other clergics, of course. You're my gift to them. Not many have ever made it this far. First, let's clean you off."
He walked her down a long hallway. At first, it was hard to walk, but slowly, her skin began to form back onto her body. She was still covered in blood. He took her to a large room with a shower. He pointed to it and smiled.
"There you go. Better wash off. I don't want to give the clergics a filthy gift,"
Gorn said. "Could I have some privacy?" she asked, doubting he would agree to it.
"Why? I've already seen you really naked. This is nothing.
Whatever. She got under the hot water and let it pour over her skin. Looking down, she watched the blood rinse off her and wash down the drain. She washed the bloody chunks out of her hair and used the soap along the wall to lather herself up and rinse off. By the time she was finished, her skin actually felt soft again, something she never thought she'd feel in this place. It made her wonder if anything here was real, but she didn't want to think about that too much. God only knew what kind of hell these clergics would put her through.
There you go,
Gorn said.
All nice and clean. Right this way.
He walked her through another hall and into a large bedroom. In this room, there were three huge fat men on a large bed. They had misshapen heads with bug eyes. They appeared to be naked, but their flap covered their penises. Kara could barely see their feet. They looked like they'd been bedridden for ages.
Gentlemen,
Gorn said,
this is Karen. She is going to entertain you for a while.
Good.
One of them hissed.
She looks delicious.
I get her first, Phil.
Another one said.
You killed the last one before any of us got a turn.
I thought there was no death here, Karen said.
Unless he eats you. The last one is still in his stomach. In a few hundred pieces. I'm sure she's not technically dead.
No.
The third one grunted.
But not happy either. Come here. Closer. Let me see you.
Karen walked closer as Gorn looked on.
I'll let you enjoy your plaything until her next trial. If she makes it, that is.
Gorn said as he stepped out of the room, closing the large double doors behind him. Karen took a step closer and decided a couple of things as her mind began to race. The first, that there was no end to these trials. She had no doubt at this point that no matter what they put her through, she was not going to see Bruce again, if they could help it. Second, there was no way she was going to let these three freaks lay a hand on her. Chapter 20.
Go ahead. Eat.
Gorn commanded Bruce.
I'm not hungry,
Bruce said.
I didn't ask you if you were hungry. I told you to eat.
One of the other dinner guests, sitting next to Bruce, a tall and muscular man, grabbed a handful of Bruce's hair and cranked his head back. Bruce cried out as the man picked up the kidney and stuffed it into Bruce's mouth. Bruce gagged on the organ, which tasted like tar and rubber. When he finally bit through it, thick and viscous fluid filled Bruce's mouth. It was too much for him to take, and after swallowing the first mouthful, Bruce threw his head forward and vomiting. Gorn and the others all laughed, watching Bruce empty his stomach onto the table.
Now, Bruce, how rude,
Gorn said.
Our host goes to the trouble to serve herself for dinner to you, and you barf her back up like this?
Bruce looked up at the woman whose organs they were eating. She was looking up, crying as if her mind was somewhere else.
Now, once again, eat. And I mean everything.
The man helping Bruce cut into the woman and removed one of her lungs and put it on Bruce's plate. Gorn shook a finger at them.
No, no, no. First, I want him to eat what he threw up. Then he could start on the fresh food.
You want me to eat my puke?
You make it sound so vile, Bruce. I'm only trying to have a nice dinner party here. You're the one being rude.
Bruce looked at the man next to him, who grabbed him by the back of his head and shoved his face down into the puddle of his own vomit. Bruce gagged on the taste of his own acidic bile as he tried to lap it up. He got some of it down, but it came right back up. He made several attempts, but each try only resulted in throwing up even more than he'd vomited in the first place.
You're only making this harder on yourself, Bruce. It's not like I'm asking you to do too much. Starving children in Africa would love the chance to eat this much. Ha 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 ha.
Gorn laughed at his own joke as Bruce looked on, breathing heavily with his own puke caked to his chin.
The man shoved his face back into his mess one more time. This time, Bruce lapped it up more slowly while holding his breath. He managed to get most of it down before the man looked at his head. His stomach felt queasy, as if it was about to come up again at any moment. He hoped beyond hope. Gorn thought it was good enough. It would be nice if someone at least had a slice of bread or cracker to soak up all the acid in his stomach before he had to start on organs again. But this appeared to be a low-carb meal.
Well, I guess that's good enough, Gorn said. Go ahead and eat your lung.
The man ripped a chunk of the lung away and shoved it into Bruce's mouth. As disgusting as it tasted, it was a delicacy compared to his own vomit. He'd been forced to snack one just moments ago. He closed his eyes and chewed it slowly and swallowed before the man shoved the next piece in, then the next. Before he knew it, he'd eaten the whole thing. His stomach was still lurching, but holding strong so far. Next, the man ripped the woman's chest open and cut her heart out. The organ was still beating on his plate, and the woman screamed while he removed it from her body. The man even took the time to cut it up. The woman screamed each time he cut it as if she could still feel it. Piece by piece, Bruce bit into each rubbery piece of her heart. Blood and vomit smeared on his lips as he swallowed each bite. The coppery taste of blood replaced the nasty bile flavor that previously occupied his throat. It wasn't a good taste, but it was better than the former. It took him almost an hour, but he got the whole heart down and he closed his eyes again and took a few deep breaths, managing not to throw up. He didn't think he could handle it if Gorn made him eat another stomach full of puke. Thankfully, it stayed down. Once he finished, he looked up at Gorn, who was clapping.
Excellent. See? That wasn't so bad. You'll thank me later.
Thank you for this? Bruce asked.
Of course. Follow me.
Gorn stood and Bruce followed him. At this point, Bruce didn't even notice or bother with the fact that he was naked. It was assumed anything he did was going to be painful or humiliating. It was how bad, how long, or to what degree that was the question. Bruce just hoped they were close to being finished. He enjoyed watching Melissa masturbate during the earlier trial. She'd been nowhere in sight during the dinner party. He hoped that wasn't a bad sign.
Where's Melissa? Am I almost done?
He asked.
You actually are. Only a few more tests to go, Bruce.
They walked down another hallway and then up a long flight of stairs. They wound up and around until Bruce's legs grew exhausted. There must have been 500 steps at least. He looked down, but there was only a dark mist the steps disappeared into. When they reached the top, the other side led to a ledge. Where it was so hot, Bruce thought it was going to burn the flesh off his body.
Next is the sea of lava, Gorn said. Jump in and swim across, and you'll have completed this trial. There's no death, remember, only pain.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'll melt into nothing the instant I jump in.
I can chain some rocks to you and throw you in, if you'd rather, then leave you there. How does that sound?
Bruce hung his head. He was starting to feel like there was no end to these trials.
I won't win, will I?
He asked.
Whatever do you mean?
You keep sending me through trial after trial.
I've got through more pain and suffering than I could imagine, but you keep piling on more and more.
This never ends, does it?
Oh, Bruce, Melissa said from behind. He turns to face her. Immediately, the hairs on his neck stood on end.
There you are. I was wondering if I wasn't going to see you anymore.
I thought you loved me.
I do. Fuck, Melissa. You know I do. Look what I've been through for you.
Then complete the trials so we can be together. Only a few more.
Jesus.
She reached down and touched his cock, stroking it enough for it to get hard, sending electricity through his body, and then taking her hand away. For me, you're almost there. Then I can finish that for you. Bruce smiled wide and then dove in. Chapter 21. One of the large things lunged for Karen. As big and fat as he was, He still moved rather quickly. In his left hand was a large knife. Ah,
hold still, little one. I'm only going to cut you up and eat you.
We want to play with you for a little bit first. Karen turned and tried the door, but it was locked. There wasn't much room between the bed and the door. Enough room for them to reach her. The next swipe, the knife got her leg. Making a small cut, she cried out as she tried to circle around the bed.
Ah, this one is feisty. I like her,
one of them said. The wall was too close to the bed on the far side, and one of them managed to grab her and pull her close. She tried to pull away as he leaned in and licked the side of her face. Karen tried not to throw up as she felt bile rise up in her throat when the thing ran his tongue up and down her body. The other creature leaned in with the knife and poked at her, just enough to draw blood, but not enough to do any real harm. She tried to wiggle away, but got one hand free. The thing poked at her again. This time, she slapped her hand at the knife, to her surprise, knocking the knife away. All three of the things looked shocked at her outburst and strength.
Great job! Get the knife!
One of them screamed. Karen dove for it herself and rolled across the bed. She got it. One of the things lunged at her again, but this time, Karen lunged forward and plunged the knife into his throat, or into the lump of skin where his throat should have been. The thing gagged as blood gushed and sputtered from the opening. Karen tried to pull the knife free, but so much fat closed in around her hand, she had to put her foot up on the thing's head to pull it free. The other two creatures began screaming as the injured one howled and gurgled. She circled behind them and stabbed them each repeatedly in the face. Karen made sure to gouge all three of their huge bug eyes and slash their throats. She knew they wouldn't die, but they wouldn't be licking or grabbing at her either. Once they were suitably disabled, she went back to the door. Using the knife, she wedged it in between the double doors and using it as a pry bar, jimmied them until they popped open. Soon, Karen was standing in a long hallway covered in red carpeting. She looked around, but there was no one there. Turning to her left, she padded down the corridor. There was another set of double doors on the right. Behind them, she heard screaming. She stopped and opened the doors to see a woman being torn apart by a group of men with hatchets. She lay on the bed screaming while one of the men raped her as the others hacked away at her body and limbs. They didn't even look at her or notice she'd stepped inside. Karen closed the doors and moved to another room. This one, a man was tied to a chair. He was surrounded by a group of women who were vomiting into his mouth. His mouth was wide open and he was readily swallowing each woman's stomach contents. Karen felt herself getting sick, so she closed that door and moved on. Looking through some other nearby doors, she found more people going through various torments. At this rate, she'd never find Bruce. Why anyone would want to summon these monsters was beyond her. Once she had Bruce and was back home, she'd be more than happy with her totally vanilla sex life. For now, she had to think everything here was a sick game to these clergics. She got to another room, and this time found a clergic watching a group of men pissing on another man who was being skinned alive. She came up behind him and put the knife to his throat. Hi, she said.
I wouldn't do this if I were you. You know I can't die.
I know, but you can feel pain, she said. So tell me where I can find my husband Bruce, or I carve an asshole where your eye used to be.
They'll find you first, you know. They'll rip your pussy open and shit down it.
Good. You won't be, though. Karen felt herself shaken as the rage built inside her. Having this monster under her control, all she wanted to do was tear him apart with her bare hands. After all the things she'd endured at this place.
Ha ha. You don't scare me, little girl. Gorn scares me. You and your play knife are nothing.
Karen screamed as she thrust the knife into the clergic's eye socket. He cried out as black fluid poured out. She threw him to the ground and climbed on his chest, screaming as her rage took over. She drove the knife into his face over and over, screaming,
"Fuck you and your bullshit games. Fuck this place."
She screamed with every thrust. Finally, the clergy put a hand up as it coughed up a mouthful of blackish sludge.
Please, he said, no more. I'll tell you.
She held the knife inches from his throat. Go on, she said. He held his head up a few inches and coughed up more black sludge.
Last I saw, he was at the sea of lava. They told him he had to swim across.
What the fuck? Lava? Why? He laughed a pained laugh before coughing up some more.
You don't get it, do you? He doesn't want you. He wants Melissa. His special prize. His dead girl. You'd be best to go back to your old life and move on from this place. There is nothing here for you. Nothing good will come of this. If you keep pursuing this, you won't like what you find.
I'll decide that, thank you. Where is this sea of lava?
You follow the hall all the way to the end. You'll find a flight of stairs on the right. Take the stairs. It's a long way up. By the time you get there, you'll probably have to go into the lava yourself. I don't know that anyone has ever made it across. Still, just go home. I'll even send you home if you want.
No, thank you. What is it you people want with my husband so badly? What is so special about him?
What makes you think we want him? He wants to be here. I've watched many of his trials. They've offered him many chances to go home to you. And every single time he chose her.
Liar! Karen said as she pressed the knife to his throat. He put his hands up and shrugged.
No need to believe me. Go to the river. Face him yourself. You'll see it in his eyes. Your husband is gone. Whoever he was before is gone. Melissa has gotten a hold of him. She never loses. Whatever she wants, she gets. That girl is something else.
Has any woman from the outside ever stabbed the shit out of you? Then held you at knife point like this? Karen asked.
Can't say that they have.
Okay, so I'm not your usual girl either.
That's a fair assessment. I like to be there when you run into Melissa. That should be an interesting confrontation.
Interesting won't be the word for it. Karen stood and backed away through the doors. Once she was in the hall, she turned and ran as fast as she could. It took a while, but she finally reached the stairs. She began up the stairway, but felt a deep sense of dread and hope beyond hope that the clergy had been wrong.
Chapter 22. It only took seconds for the molten lava to melt the flesh off of Bruce's body. He couldn't even scream as he felt it oozing down his throat and boiling his insides. His eyeballs exploded as he tried to make his way across the fiery lake. He imagined he was a little more than a skeleton, yet all of him hurt and he was still conscious. He was able to see still. Though things were dark and fuzzy, he wasn't even sure how he was still moving or could feel pain. His nerve endings should have burnt off. In the center of the lava lake, there was an island of rock. He reached the island and climbed out. Smoke lifted off his bones as he crawled atop the shiny stone. Rolling onto his back, his vision cleared up. Raising his hand before his face, he watched the skin slowly appear. He was still in great pain, and the heat was still intense all around. When he stood, chunks of his skin were melted to the rock and stuck to it. Once he decided he'd had enough of a rest, if you can call it that, he jumped back in. Under the lava, he screamed once again, swallowing a mouthful of the painful liquid, which melted almost every part of him. He fought through the pain, taking small breaks. It was a good thing time didn't exist here, because he must have been taken forever. This was by far the hardest task he'd been given. Every part of him was endlessly on fire, and every movement felt like it was his last. Yet he fought through it. He kept going through, motivated by the hope this was his final task. He imagined he'd finish the trial to be rewarded with a naked Melissa at the end to make love to him. If his cock were still attached, it would be a wreck with the wild thoughts he was having. The distraction worked. Before he knew it, he reached the end. He climbed out of the lava and onto the flat ground. There was a group of men there who pulled him free and out of the lava. Moments later, he was back in the halls, lying on a couch, with his flesh returning and the pain subsiding. He felt excited at first. He had done it. As his vision cleared, he saw Melissa sitting across from him. But the clearer his vision grew, he saw it wasn't Melissa. It was Karen.
Karen, what are you doing here?
He asked. Are you kidding me? I came here for you. You have any idea what I've been through?
Did they make you go through the trials?
Yes. Pretty much every form of pain and humiliation you can imagine. I went through just for you. He looked around and saw Gorn and Melissa standing on either side of the couch. Karen was sitting on the seat across from him. All of them were still naked. Modesty didn't exist in the halls of Dolor.
Wow, I can't believe you did that.
He said before he looked away and then looked at Karen.
But you shouldn't have.
Why? Because of her? You want her? She's not even alive. I hope you know that. She is the one who put you through all of this.
No, it's just the rules. I'm almost done with the trials.
What is wrong with you? She asked. We were so in love. You couldn't keep your hands off of me before. What changed? Maybe he met a real woman. Melissa chimed in. I didn't ask you, bitch, Karen said. Like you said, I'm dead. And your man wants me more. You should have seen the stuff he let us do to him, too. Karen was ready to cut Melissa wide open. She arrived at the lake and found Gorn and Melissa there. At first, they were going to throw her in. But instead, Gorn decided to have Karen meet Bruce at the inn. She was sure they had some kind of fucked up game in mind. No doubt, he was about to reveal it.
There is only one way to settle this,
Gorn said.
I am going to allow true death temporarily. Bruce, you have to decide who you want to be with for eternity.
Gorn held out a long knife as Bruce walked up and took it.
Just kill the one you don't want to be with. She will die permanently. Then you will be with the other. This will be your last trial.
Really? My last one?
Bruce asked.
Yes,
Gorn said.
You have my word.
Bruce, Karen said. I love you. I know you love me. She was trying to convince him, but she could see in his eyes. Her husband was no longer there. Her husband's usual loving expression has been replaced by this longing, this hunger. She had never seen. This wasn't him. If this wasn't possession, she didn't know what else you would call it. She stood as Melissa stood next to her and winked.
Choose wisely, Bruce. Your choice is eternal,
Gorn said. Bruce couldn't believe this was finally it. This was his chance. But it meant he had to kill Karen. He didn't want to hurt Karen. Couldn't they just send her home? He just wanted the chance to be with Melissa and to be happy. But if he killed Karen, she wouldn't be in any pain either. She'd already gone through a lot of pain and suffering just to find him. That would be over. He'd be putting her at peace. Or he could kill Melissa and go back to his life, go back to normal, how things had been before. Then it would be as though none of this had ever happened. Why not just do that? He barely knew Melissa. Did she really love him? What would happen to Melissa's soul then? Did it matter? But wait, what about all the trials he'd gone through? All of that would have been for nothing. All the eating puke, being pissed and shit on, literally swimming through fire. All for what? He closed his eyes and took a deep breath. He counted to three and then thrust the knife forward. Chapter 23. The knife entered her chest, and Bruce stabbed downward, ripping and tearing away at her flesh. Her still-beating heart shone through her ribcage as her eyes went wide and she gasped out of shock, pain, and disbelief. She touched a wound, then reached a bloody hand up to Bruce's face and touched the side of his face. Bruce,
I'm sorry you couldn't love me, she said as she collapsed in his arms. He picked her up and carried her over to lay her on the couch. Her body shook and trembled before it went still. Once it was still, he kissed her on her cheek, stood, and turned to Melissa, who stood smiling, and took her into his arms. Chapter 24. Karen woke up in the attic. She was naked, with dry blood on her chest and hands. She jumped awake with a scream and looked around. Why am I not dead? She asked herself out loud. But she didn't ponder the point for too long. Gorn was a liar and manipulator. No doubt Bruce and Melissa were in their own little hell, and as far as she was concerned, they deserved each other. It took her a few minutes to gather her thoughts before she climbed down the ladder to her bedroom and threw on a t-shirt and shorts. She came back upstairs with a bottle of lighter fluid, lit everything inside the trunk on fire, and watched it burn. Later that night, she took all of Bruce's belongings, piled them into a barrel outside, and set them on fire. She sat, wrapped in a blanket, watching his clothes and art supplies burn. One by one, she threw his paintings into the fire, the last painting being the one she'd wondered about, the one he'd painted over in black. Now she knew who that woman was. He'd painted a portrait of Melissa, his precious dead girl. Epilogue. Bruce's trials were, in fact, over. He hung from the walls of the Halls of Dolor, nailed to a wooden frame. His blood had been smeared across his nude body, like some grotesque form of paint, and occasionally a clergyman would walk by and shit or piss on him. Either that, or they'd pull a tooth, or cut an inch off his cock, or do some other horrible acts as he hung there helplessly. He wished he'd have killed Melissa. He regretted killing his wife, not knowing she was still alive and well in her home. Had he killed Melissa, Bruce would have been returned to his home with Karen, and they'd have lived happily ever after. But this story doesn't have such an ending. He chose his precious dead girl, and there he hung, blood dripping from his wounds, feeding the plush red carpet of the halls. Melissa was still with him also. She hung right next to him. They were living works of art. Gorn kept his promise, just not how they thought, as was Gorn's way. Their screams filled the halls regularly. Gorn would come by and taunt the ill-fated lovers from time to time, offering to take them down. Why am I hanging here? Melissa would ask him. You told me I would be a clergyman once I finish this trial.
I did.
And you will.
I didn't say when. Time doesn't exist here, my dear. I figured you knew that by now. These are the halls of Dolor. Everything is a game, and everything hurts. One day, I'll get bored tormenting you, but not today.
Gorn turned and walked away as Melissa screamed his name. The end. Sneak peek at Tim Miller's next release, Butcher Bitch, coming soon. Pre-order now on Amazon. Prologue. The man ran as fast as he could over the rocks and stones. They bit into his feet, unforgivingly cutting into his flesh. Blood oozed out onto the rocks as the Texas heat beat down on his face. He turned to look, but his pursuer was still behind him. Oh, Billy, his pursuer called out. Don't bother running. Your feet have to be killing you by now. He ignored the taunts and kept running, thinking back to how he got here and how things had gone so wrong. The main road wasn't far behind, but that wouldn't help. He had to avoid the main road. The sun was burning the back of his neck and the top of his head, and the ground was burning his feet. He found some brush and hid under it for a few seconds, hoping his pursuer would pass him by. I see some bushes up there. I know they're not stupid enough to hide in there, they said. Fuck. He crawled out and took off running again. He was gasping for air,
his throat dry and side aching. Billy wasn't in the greatest of shape. At 5'10" and 280 pounds, he had more than his share of flab, though no telling how many pounds he'd run off in the last hour. He tried to explain they'd only been having fun. The whole thing was only meant to be a joke. Things had gotten a little out of hand, and now he was running for his life from this fucking psycho. Granted, this wasn't the first time they'd done this, but it was the first time things had gone this far. No one had ever taken it personal. Usually, they just went back about their business. Apparently, that was too much to ask. That was the problem with society today. Everyone took everything so personal. Everyone got so butthurt over the stupidest things. Some good old boys couldn't even have a little fun. It sure wasn't worth him dying over. There was a hill up ahead and Billy started up it. Rocks kicked under his feet and he made his way up the hill. But lost his footing. Looking down below, he saw his pursuer coming toward him. They weren't moving, though. They were just standing there watching and smiling. "Wow, you think you could get your fat ass up there?" they called up. "You want me to come give you a hand?" "Fuck you," Billy called out. But his voice was hoarse. He was sure they heard him, though. "Fuck you, you sick fuck. Just leave me alone." "Leave you alone? Now, why would I want to do that?" They began walking toward the hill again. Billy began climbing, digging his fingers into the dirt, pulling himself up as fast as he could, using his bloody feet as leverage. Though it hurt to push off them at all. He felt like John McClane in Die Hard, with his bare feet being torn to shreds. Billy barely made it up to the top of the hill when he found some rocks and figured he'd throw them at his pursuer, who was coming up after him. None of them landed. His throws were weak and off target. "Is that the best you got? That's pathetic. Big tough guy like you. Where's the real rocks?"
"Shut up. You have a knife anyway. You already cut my leg,"
Billy called out, looking at the long slash across his thigh. Deep enough to hurt, but not deep enough to cause any real damage.
"How about a fair fight?"
"You know all about fair fights, don't you?" Billy hobbled to his feet and worked his way down the hill. When he found a large stick, it wasn't much, but it was something he could use. He grabbed the stick and hid behind some bushes, waiting on his attacker. This was his chance to escape. He waited and waited, but they never came. What the hell? After almost an hour, he crept out from behind the bush. The sun was going down. It would be dark soon. But at least it wasn't so hot. He crawled just over the crest of the hill to see his attacker sitting on a rock, drawing in the dirt, with their back turned away from him. This was it. This was his chance. Taking a deep breath, he picked up the stick, reared back, and charged. He got inches from his attacker's head and swung with all his might, but the attacker moved out of the way, grabbed the stick, and swung him to the ground. They ripped the stick from his hands. His grip had grown weaker than he thought and threw him to the ground. His attacker knelt down next to him and smiled. "Billy, I knew you were stupid. That's why I sat there. I knew it was just a matter of time before you came for me." His attacker stood and removed their ball cap, revealing their head of long hair. She shook it out, pulling her hair back into a ponytail before looking the cap over, dusting it off and putting the cap back on her head. "I like this cap. It was your buddy's," she said.
"You're an evil bitch,"
Billy said. "My name is Shelby. You killed my family, you fucking asshole. You and your stupid band of redneck boyfriends. Now, you think I'm the bitch?"
"We didn't mean anything by it, okay? No one was supposed to die. Shit just got out of hand. It was an accident. We was just having fun. You don't gotta take it so personal."
She stood, took the stick, and struck him across the face. His nose crunched as the bone and cartilage broke, while blood gushed from the new injury. He cried out as he knelt back down.
"Well, let me tell you something, Billy,"
Shelby said.
Now, it's my turn to have fun, and I promise you this, shit will get fucking out of hand. Order Butcher Bitch now on Amazon.
About the author. Tim began writing at a very young age. Even in grade school, he'd sit around with his notebook, writing stories for himself and his friends. As an adult, Tim's writings have evolved into darker realms. He released his first horror novel, The Hand of God, in 2011. Since then, his books have become progressively more violent and gory. With the release of Family Night in 2013, Tim had moved into the world of extreme horror, where he continues to push the boundaries of human suffering. Tim is now an international bestseller as well. His book, Hell, Texas, has recently ranked high on Amazon sales charts since its release in Germany under German publisher Festa Verlag. Tim is very active on social media and loves interacting with his readers. You can find him at his website at http://timmiller.org. Follow Tim Miller's Amazon author page and be notified of each new release. Also by Tim Miller, The 1% Books, The Country Club, Suicide Hotline, The Country Club, Ladies' Night, The Country Club, Road Rage, The Hell Texas series, Hell Texas, Return to Hell Texas. Other brutal books, Hack, Rape Van, Psychoville, Dollhouse, Family Night, Fertile Fields.
This has been 50 Shades of Hell, an extreme horror story, written by Tim Miller, narrated by Lady Abaddon. Copyright 2017 by Tim Miller. Production copyright 2017 by Tim Miller.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.